Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Welcome to CBS Mornings on this Veterans Day. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCopel.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
We're going to begin today with a wild and very emotional day in Kyle Rittenhouse's murder trial. The 18-year-old yesterday told the court that he killed two people in Kenosha, Wisconsin during a Black Lives Matter protest in self-defense. During his testimony, Rittenhouse broke down in tears. He was sobbing on the stand. The prosecutors questioned him aggressively at one point during a stern rebuke from the judge and a request for a mistrial from Rittenhouse's lawyer. Nancy Chen is outside the courthouse in Kenosha yesterday. Nancy, I watched in real time. It was riveting yesterday. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Gail. Yes, it was riveting. And yesterday was the first time jurors heard from Kyle Rittenhouse, some appearing sympathetic as he broke down on the stand. Rittenhouse testified for several hours, telling the court he felt he had no choice but to fight for his life.
There were three people right there.
Kyle Rittenhouse broke down on the stand Wednesday, shortly after he started to detail his encounter with Joseph Rosenbaum, one of the two men he shot and killed August 25th, 2020.
That's where I run.
We're gonna just take it. Time for our break anyway.
The judge paused the trial to allow Rittenhouse to collect himself. His mother watched in tears. Later, Rittenhouse defended his actions, saying he shot Rosenbaum about four times.
The person that attacked me first threatened to kill me.
Rittenhouse says he then tried to get to the police as protesters began to chase him.
Why were you trying to get to the police?
So I didn't do anything wrong. I defended myself.
Rittenhouse says as he was trying to get away, the second man he shot and killed, Anthony Huber, hit him with a skateboard and tried to take his weapon.
He grabs my gun and I can feel it pulling away from me and I can feel the strap starting to come off my body.
And what do you do then?
I fire one shot.
Rittenhouse says he shot a third man, Gage Grosskreutz, the only surviving victim, because Grosskreutz had a pistol and was standing over him.
I was never trying to kill the defendant.
You intentionally used deadly force against Anthony Huber, correct?
Yes.
You intentionally used deadly force against Gage Grosskreutz, correct?
Yes.
With regard to Joseph Rosenbaum, you fired four shots at him, correct?
Yes.
On cross-examination, prosecutor Thomas Binger tried to paint Rittenhouse as the armed instigator.
Mr. Rittenhouse, you're telling us that you felt like you were about to die, right?
Yes.
But when you point the gun at someone else, that's going to make them feel like they're about to die, right? That's what you wanted him to feel.
No.
Don't get brazen with me.
When it was the prosecution's turn to question Rittenhouse, the judge interrupted several times, calling out the prosecutor for questioning Rittenhouse's silence after his arrest and attempting to bring in evidence the judge had previously ruled inadmissible.
When you say that you were acting in good faith, I don't believe that.
After the exchange, the defense sought a mistrial, but with prejudice, meaning Rittenhouse would go free and could not be retried for the shootings. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
What the defense suggests is that the prosecution, knowing it was losing, was actually purposefully doing misconduct so that it would cause its own mistrial in order to get another crack at the case. But all in all, the prosecution at this level of experience should know better than to do either of the two things that it did.
The judge was not willing to rule on whether he would grant a mistrial yet. But if this trial does continue, the jury would likely get the case early next week. And if convicted of homicide, Rittenhouse could face life in prison. Nate?
Gail said it best. Riveting testimony. Nancy, thank you. Now turning to an issue facing every American household, the Labor Department says inflation has hit a 31-year high, with prices rising to more than double we've seen in recent decades. Nancy Cordes is following this from the White House, where President says it's a top priority to get inflation under control.
New government figures show beef prices are up 20% since last year, furniture up 12%. New cars, nearly 10%, the largest one-year increase since 1975. Even rent for the average apartment has shot up by more than $100 a month.
COVID-19 has stretched global supply chains like never before.
In Baltimore Wednesday, President Biden insisted the problem is temporary and touted the $17 billion in the newly passed infrastructure bill that will go towards modernizing ports. But that won't happen fast enough to ease the current supply crunch.
We got higher demand for goods at the same time we're facing disruptions in the supplies to make those goods.
Prices typically rise about 2 to 3% a year, but over the past year, they've shot up more than 6%.
It's not just a U.S. problem. This is a global problem.
Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi says he thinks inflation should dissipate in 2022 if we keep the pandemic at bay.
Are there certain big ticket items that you would say, don't buy that right now? Wait 6 months or a year, you'll get a better price.
Cars, vehicles. I mean, to be real, though, even if you wanted to buy one, you might not be able to find one. There's only, believe it or not, there's only 75,000 cars on dealer lots today. In a typical time, it's closer to 500,000.
How's that for a shortage? And because everything is connected, it's due in large part to another shortage for the kinds of computer chips that are used in automobiles. So it gives you a sense of why these problems are not going to be unwound overnight. In fact, Zandi says that even if inflation starts to improve next year, it could take 2 years to unwind all of these supply chain backups. Nate?
Just hold off on the car shop. And Nancy, thank you. 60 Minutes dives into the supply chain issues on Sunday's broadcast. Bill Whitaker reports from the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach to find out exactly what's going on.
Now, with inflation the highest in years and the holidays fast approaching, there's a flurry of plans to break the logjam. Starting Monday, Gene Soroka, who runs the L.A. ports, says he'll fine the shipping lines for any cargo that sits on the docks more than 9 days. And last month, President Joe Biden announced the ports had agreed to work round the clock, but it hasn't had much effect.
We typically work about 19 hours a day here. It's that 3 to 8 a.m. shift that we've added and tried to get others to work with us during those times as well.
So you might be working 24/7, but the warehouses are not.
That's right.
So they have no place for these goods to go after they get off the ship at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And there you've just diagnosed the problem. The cargo has nowhere to go. We've got to get a workforce in the warehouses and the trucking industry that are complementary to all this cargo that's coming in right now.
There is a lot of finger pointing.
Yes, there is.
The truckers blame the terminals. The terminals blame the shippers. The retailers blame the truckers and the shippers. How do you get that contentious group to sit at the table, stop pointing fingers, and actually clear out this backlog?
That's been the toughest part. We haven't moved the needle yet, but it's not for a lack of trying. We're going to have to just double down.
You can see the full story this Sunday on 60 Minutes. Right here on CBS.
I'll be watching, but for now, we're going to go to the latest on the tragedy at a Houston concert that killed 8 people. Rapper Travis Scott continued to perform after the declaration of a mass casualty event. The city's police chief had initially defended his decision not to stop the show immediately, but yesterday he told a different story. Lilia Luciano has more.
For roughly an hour, a chaotic scene raged at the Astroworld Music Festival Friday night, and the show continued for almost 40 minutes after a mass casualty event was declared. Now, investigators are trying to figure out why. On Wednesday, Houston Police Chief Troy Finner said his officers were in communication with festival personnel as CPR was being administered to multiple individuals. He later clarified on Twitter that police also told those in charge of the event to shut down the performance.
the ultimate authority to end a show is with production and the entertainer, okay? And that should be through communication with public safety officials.
But on Saturday, in the more immediate aftermath of the festival, Finner defended the decision to let the show continue and said his department was part of that choice.
Okay, well, my God.
You cannot just close when you got 50,000 and over 50,000 individuals, okay? We have to worry about riding. And it was a cooperation and discussion between promoters, our fire department, the police department. So I think that part was pretty good.
CBS News obtained video from a source close to the Astroworld Music Festival, appearing to show police near the stage during Scott's performance. This video was shot at around 10 p.m., with police seemingly unaware of the severity of the situation in the crowd, some 20 minutes after the mass casualty event was declared. The source says that means it would be difficult for the performers to know as well. We've reached out to the Houston Police Department for comment about those images and the timeline and are yet to hear back. But late Wednesday night, Travis Scott's attorney put out a statement accusing city officials of finger pointing, of sending inconsistent messages, and on backtracking from their original statements. Gail.
Still a lot of questions there. Thank you very much, Lilia. Federal court has handed down the toughest punishment yet for the assault on the Capitol. A January 6th protester caught on camera punching a police officer was sentenced to 41 months in prison yesterday. In other news associated with this case, former President Trump lost another bid to withhold White House documents related to the January 6th incident. Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill with more on the story. Nicole, good morning. Seems like another setback for President Trump.
Yeah, it is for now, Gail. And at this point, these documents are scheduled to be released to the January 6th Select Committee as soon as tomorrow. But there could be more legal maneuvers between now and then. In the latest exchange last night, federal judge Tanya Chutkan rejected former President Trump's request to delay the release while he seeks an appeal. The former president has argued he has a right to executive privilege. She wrote plaintiff is unlikely to succeed on the merits of his claims. The National Archives is set to turn over more than 700 pages of documents that could include White House call logs, videos, schedules, and handwritten notes from January 6th. As part of that batch, the committee also wants to know about the security movement and communication involving former Vice President Mike Pence. Earlier this week, the panel subpoenaed his former national security advisor and wants to know if the former president pressured his VP not to certify the election results. A spokesperson for former President Trump says he intends to see this process through, so it's possible this could end up in the Supreme Court. Tony.
All right, Nicole, thank you very much. The victims of the Flint, Michigan water crisis finally have a settlement now more than 5 years later. It's more than $626 million. It will go to those who were exposed to lead in their drinking water. Some 50,000 residents reported contaminated water after a truly disastrous decision to change the city's water supply. Now, we should note that even as conditions have improved in Flint, we've been covering a similar issue in the nearby town of Benton Harbor. This continues to be a problem. President Biden's new infrastructure bill could possibly help the situation because it includes $15 billion to replace millions of lead pipes still in use nationwide.
Four astronauts are on their way to the International Space Station this morning. They're inside a SpaceX capsule that was launched in Florida last night after a delay of more than a week. NASA says one crew member needed time to recover from a medical problem. Now, we don't know what it is, but they say it wasn't COVID. The astronauts are replacing another four-person crew that returned to Earth on Monday. Mark Strassman is at the Kennedy Space Center, the scene of last night's launch.
And here they are.
Destination space. You're watching the astronauts enter the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule named Endurance, their space taxi to the ISS. Three of them are space rookies, including Kayla Barron, a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy. She's served on submarines carrying nuclear warheads, but views space as her life's most dangerous adventure.
How do you view the risk of spaceflight versus anything else you've done?
It's not about thrill seeking or notoriety or any of those things. It's about an opportunity to serve in the best capacity possible.
And liftoff.
For SpaceX, this was their fourth successful launch of NASA's astronauts. Their partnership with the space agency has reached a rhythm, but with the daunting risks involved, no one considers any mission routine.
Dragon separation confirmed.
Pilot Tom Marshburn's the only space veteran aboard. I asked him what advice he gave his crewmates, given that space may qualify as the ultimate team sport.
Being open and honest early with each other will be really important for the long haul. But we want to maintain our happiness and our health and come back as friends even after 6 months.
This crew, this launch, sets a new milestone. With these four astronauts, now more than 600 people have ever been to space. And by dinner time tonight, this crew will be living in their new home for the next 6 months. Gail?
That's so cool, Mark. Something to think about. Something tells me they will come back as friends in 6 months. I love Kayla's attitude.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.